Well, good morning, everyone. We're gathering our troops here. It's a little bit cold in this room. We're up here in Denmark, and we're all sitting around in our fleece jackets, or whatever we've got, covered by blankets, we're going to be meditating on fire. Something like that. And if all goes well, this will work too. Aha. Okay, I'm not sure. Yes, well, Logitech. Try that. Yes, we are here. Okay. It looks very Arctic, I'm sure, at the moment. All right. Well, we're going to meditate on two stanzas this morning. They are short ones, which doesn't mean that they're easy. And we'll begin by, hopefully we'll be able to discuss stanzas 11 and 12 today, and maybe one other. We will reserve stanza 10, which has so much to do with the history of our planet, till tomorrow, and I don't know if it can be done, but it would be great to get Philip Lindsay in on the webinar to give his perspective, which is, you know, probably the most informed perspective dealing with planetary history. One of the meditations, or one of the reflections, I guess we could call them, this morning will be on the third aspect of divinity and on the turning of the many wheels. The other will be dealing with the entire cosmic process in terms of color. And it's really not easy, because he symbolizes the entire progression in our planetary scheme, and also the solar system, simply in terms of color changes. So we will, and you know what he says about that. He doesn't always, the color that he's speaking about is not always the color he means, because he can be using complements to blind us. But we will see. We have to make a tentative beginning in all of these areas. And as a result, our knowledge and understanding will grow. So we'll just get ourselves into the right space for meditation. A little hot tea. I mean, it once was hot. In this room, it only takes a few minutes. And we will come into a state of alertness, and yet drop the tensions, dropping the tensions of the physical body. And begin our process of moving inward, withdrawing, and is that open or closed now? Has that been closed? That's closed. That's good. Very good. Okay. And we use the old Raja Yoga formula, which helps us disidentify from our instruments, I have a body, yet I am not that body. I have the sentient, sensitive, feeling states, but I am not that sensitivity, that emotional sensitivity. I have a mind of thoughts with many forms created and many changes in thoughts and words and images. But I am not those. I try then to get the feeling of what I really am, if I am not those. And I am a unit of consciousness, a unit of being and consciousness. The inner being with consciousness detached from its usual preoccupations. We try to look into the world of form as the observer, and we realize that all the many forms are simply one form. As in the Bhagavad Gita, there was the moment when Arjuna was revealed the one form of the many, the form of God. And we see the forms God took. We try to get the understanding that although we are other than the forms, we are also the entire form. It seems like a paradox. We are this one form, but in a way, we are detached from it. And our consciousness certainly goes beyond the normal ring pass knot, because wherever consciousness can be, there we are. Though we may not realize it. In this fluid world of consciousness, one can eventually slip in and out of consciousness wherever it is. put oneself in the place of the perceiver, within many ring pass knots. I am the soul in which all souls are fused. There is no my soul or thy soul. There's simply the one soul eventually accessible to all when we recognize ourselves as the one being. The one humanity is not a vague abstraction. It is an identity, it is a reality. It is a being and we have to recognize ourselves as that more than we think of ourselves as the isolated individual. We use the power of the ray of merging, the ray of consciousness, the second ray, that all the life be drawn to the center and enter thus into the heart of love divine. Then from that point of sentient life, let the soul realize the consciousness of God. Let the word go forth, reverberating through the silence. Naught is but me. We preserve this sense of unity which exists in the group, in the wider group, and in relation to humanity. We find ourselves to be actually the great participant in all kinds of human experiences, not just the experiences of the little familiar self. The door of identification is not closed. And through identification, we extend our presence until it becomes true that wherever you are, there am I. This is the great principle of relationship, revealing a seamless unity. And thus we begin to approximate the state of consciousness in which the hierarchy lives all the time. This state of ongoing planetary participation. Ongoing identification within the perceived unity. And in this state, we can access wisdom, the impressions of wisdom which are not normally available to the personally preoccupied mind. And that's what we will do as we begin to open the group consciousness to some very profound words translated from ancient symbols by the Tibetan, telling us of processes which take place beneath the surface of life. And we keep our sensitivity open for the light which can reveal the meaning, the significance of some of these words and phrases. The first then, stanza 11. The wheel of life turns within the wheel of outer form. The matter of Fohat circulateth, and its fire hardeneth all the forms. The wheel of life turns within the wheel of form. The matter of Fohat circulateth, and its fire hardeneth all the forms. The wheel that is not glimpsed moveth in rapid revolution within the slower outer case. Till it weareth out the form. Till it weareth out the form. It moveth in rapid revolution within the slower outer case until it weareth out the form. The 49 fires burn at the inner center. The 35 circulating fires, fiery vortices, extend along the circle of the periphery. The 35 circulating fiery vortices extend along the circle of the periphery, and between the two passeth in ordered sequence the various colored flames. Between the two passeth in ordered sequence the various colored flames. The great triangles, in their just arrangement, hold hid the secret of the wheel of life. The great triangles, in their just arrangement, hold hid the secret of the wheel of life. The cosmic fire radiates as directed from the second sphere. The cosmic fire radiates as directed from the second sphere, controlled by the ruler of the merging ray. The great triangles hold hid the secret of the wheel of life. The cosmic fire radiates as directed from the second sphere, controlled by the ruler of the merging ray. The cohorts of the third encircling sphere, in varied ranks, mark out the lesser threes. The cohorts of the third encircling sphere in varied ranks mark out the lesser threes. The wheel of life still moves within the form. The devas of the fourth connect the 35 and blend them with the central 49. The devas of the fourth connect the 35 and blend them with the central 49. Above they work, seeking to merge the whole. Upward they strive, who in their myriad forms revolve within the wheels of lesser magnitude. Upward they strive, who, in their myriad forms, revolve within the wheels of lesser magnitude. The whole is one, yet on the lower spheres only the forms appear. They seem in their divisions more than can be grasped or met. The whole is one. Yet on the lower spheres only the forms appear. They seem in their divisions more than can be grasped or met. The many circulate, the forms are built, become too firm, are broken by the life, and circulate again. The forms are built, become too firm, are broken by the life and circulate again. The few revolve, holding the many in the heat of motion. The few revolve, holding the many in the heat of motion. The One embraces all. And carries all from great activity into the heart of cosmic peace. And carries all from great activity into the heart of cosmic peace. Together. Now, stanza 12. Stanza, rather, 13. through the band of violet that encircleth the heavens, passeth the globe of purple dark. Through the band of violet that encircleth the heavens, passeth the globe of purple dark. It passeth and returneth not. It passeth and returneth not. It becometh enwrapped in the blue. It becometh enwrapped in the blue. Three times the blue enfoldeth. And when the cycle is completed, the purple fadeth and is merged into the rose. And the path again is traversed. Three times the blue enfoldeth, and when the cycle is completed, the purple fadeth and is merged into the rose, and the path again is traversed. Three, the great colors in the cycle that counteth as the fourth. Violet, blue, and rose, with the basic purple in revolution. Three, the great colors in the cycle that counteth as the fourth. Violet, blue, and rose with the basic purple in revolution. Four are the colors secondary in the cycle of discrimination in which the revolution taketh place. Four are the colors secondary in the cycle of discrimination in which the revolution taketh place. It is cycled to the midmost point and somewhat past. It is cycled to the midmost point and somewhat past. Yellow the band that cometh, yellow the band that cometh. Orange the cloud that hideth. And green for vivification. Orange the cloud that hideth, and green for vivification. Yet the time is not yet. Yet the time is not yet. Many the circling fires. Many the revolving rounds. But only when the complementary colors recognize their source and the whole adjusteth itself to the seven, will be seen completion. But only when the complementary colors recognize their source, and the whole adjusteth itself to the seven, will be seen completion. Then will be seen each color in adjustment right, and the cessation of revolution. Then will be seen each color in adjustment right, and the cessation of revolution. So we keep our imagination open, our receptivity open. We are invoking a deeper understanding of these very abstract words that do not have concrete reference points, except if we somehow recognize the hint. And we seek to understand what of a deeper nature they may reveal, something perhaps deeper than simply the many words we have written, or rather read, and perhaps written. The many words of this book and our thoughts about it, maybe something deeper is revealed. by this abstract color language. Something that helps us participate more deeply, more presently, in the planetary process. Because that should be the goal of reading these stanzas and understanding them, not just some additional knowledge, but the sense of participation in the planetary one in whom we live and move and have our being. And even eventually in the solar one in whom we live and move and have our being. A deeper integration into planetary and systemic processes. And so we will go through the day at a point of pretty strong group concentration with the help of also our friends who may be electronically present and are also thinking and invoking light. And we will seek, knowing we cannot fully succeed, but we will seek to throw some additional light on these stanzas, knowing that they will become more meaningful to us as the decades and centuries elapse. And confirming this attitude, we will together sound the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. So we certainly have our work cut out for us, and I think we will proceed with that. Obviously, when we're dealing with the color language, and we're dealing with abstract motion, well, you know, we don't want to be caught on the astral plane with the color language, because many are the varying colors and impressions that we can receive through astral impression. We want something that's related to the world of mind as well. It's not just, you know, what we see, it's what it means. What is the significance? So linking, because every color is going to stand for great structures and processes and patterns, different fires and different aspects. He just consolidates all of those by giving us a color. And when it comes to the abstract motion of the revolving wheels, well, we really have to use a very refined imagination. We have to realize something about how many spheres there are and how these spheres are in rotation, and how many spheres within spheres are rotating because the greater sphere is in rotation. It's a picture of constant movement, of a rotary revolutionary kind. Meanwhile, all of it driving forward through space, we're not so concerned about that. That's the first ray aspect. It's going to happen. Are there any impressions you would like to share? I think we'll have probably plenty of time to share as we're going through. I haven't yet decided which stanza we'll do first, whether 11 or 13. Maybe 11 requires more analysis, and 13 requires the activation of our intuition to a very high degree, but it's a bit climactic, so maybe I'll wait a little later with the 13. We'll see. Yes. Would you say that one more time?
The last stanza
is
really speaking to me.
Is really speaking to you.
And I think it's so beautiful.
Yes, it's so beautiful. It has a great beauty.
Especially in one sentence.
When the complementary colors are we'll see the true colors when the complementary colors are absorbed into their source, okay? No, what we see today is not the truth. Right, BK does tell us a little bit about the color we see compared to the true color. A little bit. There's no substitute for becoming sensitive. You know, we can learn all this, learn many things. But unless we have a sensitive instrument, we're never going to see for ourselves, hear for ourselves, touch for ourselves. So it really boils down to that quality coming out of Shambhala, which we call purification. That's the only way we're going to be able to approach the archetype. And of course, the other two qualities, destruction and organization, which facilitate. But this is the solar system of purification, the second ray solar system, where we have to get the true form of things and somehow perceive the true form, the form-building ray. I found a little bit more in Initiation of Human Solar last night about the speaking of the great words. They were called the solar words. Might be interesting, if we have time, to add that to stanza 2 and also to what we learned in Cosmic Fire yesterday about the A, AU, AUM, the sevenfold word, the 35 stanzas, the 42 verses, and the 49 chapters. He puts it in very simple form, but from a slightly different angle. He even says a very interesting thing. He says, ours is the most dense solar system because we are under the form-building second ray. It's really rather interesting when you think that perhaps the previous solar system would have been more dense somehow. But the forms built in this solar system make it a system of greater density. And of course, next time, it will be less. It's on the first ray nature. Things don't even start to individualize until the monadic plane. But that's another matter. We will, we will come back around 9:25. It's roughly 45 minutes. And then we'll get into one or other of these stanzas, depending upon inspiration. And they'll be very interesting. Okay, you have a good breakfast. And thank you, attendees. I know for some of you are in Europe, and that's good. So if you have the time, you can continue to follow. Others are in Australia. It's not too bad. Those who are in the center of the United States have the eastern coast, it's almost time to go to sleep, I suppose. So, you know, just stay with us. You can leave your computer on and join when you can. And we will proceed in about 45 minutes or so. Okay, thank you for joining us in meditation. We'll see you, some of you anyway, soon.